Home. They say it's where the heart is. They also say it's wherever you make it. They don't say. It's where you unload your stuff, get tired halfway through unpacking, use some boxes as furniture, realize your oven mitt's in a box that doubles as a nightstand, don't want to buy a new nightstand, and use a towel as an oven mitt instead. But no matter where you call home, GEICO makes it easy to bundle and save on renters and car insurance. Easier than grabbing a piping hot pan with a towel that's a bit too thin and trying to quickly get it to the counter. Ooh, hot, 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 hot.
This episode is brought to you by Verizon. Get a Verizon Business Unlimited plan from the network businesses rely on. Hey, Monica, with 5G Ultra Wideband in many more cities, you get up to 10 times the speed at no extra cost.
Hello, downloads in no time.
Plus, unlimited premium data and hotspot data to keep the signal flowing and your teams going. Come in or book an appointment with a Verizon business expert to find the right plan for your team. 5G Ultra Wideband available in over 1,700 cities with Business Unlimited Pro 2.0 smartphone plan. Speed comparison is to median Verizon 4G LTE speeds. Download speeds may vary depending upon network and coverage conditions and content optimization for 5G Ultra Wideband.
What is up, friends? How is it going? It is thrilling to be here with you alone. Javier Jase, my Argentinian action figure co-host, ain't here. He is not with us. So you know what that means is I need your help today. Would love for you all to drop a cannabis stock or two you want to hear about. Let us know if you're watching. Say where from. Say what you do. Drop a one in the chat if you've watched Cannabis Insider before. Drop a two if you've never even heard of Cannabis Insider or Elliot Lane, that weird guy on your screen all of a sudden before, and you're just watching Joel before this. But we're glad you're here. Stay tuned. We have some killer interviews for you today. We're going to talk to Katie Cravens, founder and CEO of Build My SOP, somebody who's really striving to normalize this industry. Very excited about that one because I got tons of questions. And then secondly, we are doing a series right now of interviews that I had at MJ Unpacked, a giant event in the space that focuses on brands, brand building. Ruben, thanks for the two, bro, but welcome. Glad you're here. Hope this is educational from Massachusetts. Rock on, man. But we're going to talk to Eric Block, Chief Revenue Officer of Wana Brands, one of the leading edible plays in the cannabis industry globally, and definitely especially in the U.S. So excited for you guys to hear that. Aloha Patrick in Las Vegas. Well, chef in Las Vegas. Send me some recipe ideas. All right, but we got some news first. Let's dive in a little bit. If you're interested in investing in cannabis space, we have some stocks that you should keep an eye on. Keep on your watch list just to see what they do. With cannabis, for those who aren't active investors, right, this is a little bit more of a value play at the moment, to be so nice about it. It's a tough time for the industry. We're not blind to that on this show. But that being said, there's a lot of great business happening in this industry. So CBD of Denver, that's one stock we want to call out. Thank you so much, Aaron. Does that say a penny? It was, by the way, when we had them on our Cannabis Capital Conference, April 20th and 21st in Miami, CBD of Denver was trading at like 0.003. They are up to a penny. They have had a magnificent week and even more magnificent last month. They are going against everything in the cannabis industry right now. CBDD on the OTC. I know their IR firm very well. CBD of Denver has a newer CEO. When we first had them on one of our events last year, they have a completely different CEO, completely different mindset on international M&A. This is a company to watch. If you like the Tilray's of the world, if you like the international movers like Sundial, like Curaleaf International, CBD of Denver is one to watch when it comes to the European market, or even Aconda is somewhat of a competitor. So excited about this stock. You can also see their CEO on Benzinga's YouTube tomorrow morning around 11 a.m. Eastern time. So quick plug there, quick commercial. Next up, Aaron, let's pull up Scott's Miracle-Gro, SMG. This one had a pretty not so great piece of news earlier this week, and they have had a, how do I say that nicely? A drop. They've had a bit of a drop. but with that, also, this is Benzinga Pro for everybody who doesn't know Benzinga. But this is our data platform. Awesomely customizable. Really, really cool cannabis preset. If you're just focused on cannabis data, cannabis stocks to watch, cannabis corporate intelligence, this is the platform for you. I use it every day. But Scott's Miracle-Gro leveled out a little bit after they announced that Hawthorne sales would decrease the guidance actually would come in 40 to 45% less in fiscal year 2022. This is, of course, rebound a little bit after a giant drop-off. Scotts Miracle-Gro is getting some mixed love from analysts. They have a neutral downgrade. They're still overweight on by a couple analysts. But this is a stock to watch, I think. And Scotts Miracle-Gro is a giant company. They're going to be around. They're going to be around in the cannabis space specifically. But this is one I think that could end up being a nice large cap value play for this industry. Next up, Aaron, bring up Neptune. Let's see how their divestiture of their cannabis assets is resonating in the markets. Let's pull up a week chart. Or that's 3 days, actually. That's perfect. So not great is the premise here. So Neptune announced that they are divesting their Canadian cannabis assets. This is where we sit at the moment. A lot of people know them as a cannabis play. They have really cool partnerships. This is what I'll say about Neptune is that they are forming really cool health and wellness partnerships. And that's what they're going to start to focus on more is their CPG product line and health and wellness. They have partnerships, I believe, with, I think, Cocomelon and Walmart. You know, so this is a stock that could be around in a very different capacity, but in a very strong way in the coming couple of years. So keep an eye on them. And then let's do one more while we have ProUp. Let's do InMed, INM. This is InMed Pharmaceuticals. They had a massive day of trading last year where they went up. I mean, their market cap just exploded. They settled down a lot. But this is a biotech in the cannabis space that has had a nice B2B commercial product line, especially since their acquisition of Bay Medica, their subsidiary. So I really like InMed as a pharmaceutical play in the cannabis space. This is something where I think they got a nice little boost midday today, it seems, but level back out a little bit. But I don't see them going much lower than this, to be honest. You can catch a lot of the stocks that I've mentioned here in their news on Benzinga.com/cannabis, or check any public company, especially NASDAQ and ICE listed companies, Benzinga.com/quote/their ticker. So Benzinga.com/quote/INM. You can check out all their content, see their chart, see what's happening in their world. So a couple other things let's chat about Planet 13. PLNHF announces their third Florida dispensary. Planet 13, if you don't know, probably has one of the most valuable assets in this industry in their Las Vegas. Shout out to Las Vegas, Patrick, their Las Vegas dispensary right off the strip there. But they're opening up 6 initial neighborhood dispensaries. So not superstores per se, but 6 of those in Florida, the third of 6 opened today. Massive, massive play in the cannabis space to keep an eye on. Other than that, y'all, that's enough news for today. I think we did pretty okay without Javier Hase, our editorial lead. He knows all the news, but we got to dive into some stocks today. Hopefully that fundamental side was helpful. Aaron, thanks for going through that with us on the back end. But as promised, we have interviews with major executives on this show. Over my shoulder are some of the many we've interviewed on this show for the past, gosh, going on 2 years now. So today we have Katie Cravens, founder and CEO of Build My SOP. Aaron, let's play her in, man. Katie, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Elliot?
We're chilling and grilling today. Grilling sounds good. Burgers sound good later, but first, we're going to learn about what's going on with SOPs in the industry. But before we even attack that question, tell us about you. Tell us how you got into cannabis.
Absolutely. So I have a unique story. I actually started off in, I believe, 2014 when medical was converting to adult use in Denver. And I started off as a janitor in a cultivation facility.
Wow.
It was kind of one of those, it was hard to get a job in the industry. And it was kind of one of those who you know, situations. So my friend's boyfriend was running a grow in Denver and allowed me to start there. Within 6 months, I was being introduced as, this is Katie. She runs my grow and dispensaries. So I was overseeing four licenses. I often joke that every grow needs a grow mom.
I feel like everybody just needs a grow mom, not even a grow, just everybody.
It's true. So I just really took the bull by the horns and jumped into everything I could. I really focused on compliance and procedures. We brought in a client specialist. She kind of took me under her wing, and I began working with her while I was running facilities throughout the nation, offering compliance consultation and a lot of standard operating procedure work. She went and did her own thing, and I started a company called ACT Compliant, A-C-T Compliant. Three keys to compliance: accuracy, consistency, transparency. So if you want to be compliant, act like it. So that's that company. And I found that I was doing a lot of work for SOPs, probably between 5 and 6 dozen around the nation. And I always had this vision of taking an SOP and creating it in a way that it lived with us every day.
So really quickly, before we go on with this, just a quick summation of what an SOP is for anybody who may not know.
Standard operating procedure. So these are the foundation of your business. They create homogenized product, accuracy. They create accountability. You know, this industry, the employees are really just begging for structure. Most people want to do a good job.
We're all begging for structure in cannabis, Katie.
but it's true though. You know, you get into cannabis usually because you love it, right? So there's a lot of passion behind these employees and having something that's structure and a guide that they can reference at all times and just having clarity, it really eliminates a lot of issues that you might run into between employees or managers or, you know, all kinds of things. So standard operating procedures happen. I just happen to be really good at them.
That's a good thing to be good at. I'm shocked the company hasn't swooped in and just taken your knowledge for themselves.
I've run dozens of facilities. I've worked in almost every position in the industry. So my last full-time position in the industry was actually one of the top four directors that got Willie's Reserve started.
Cool.
Yeah. And I'm happy to say they brought on 9 facilities and 165 employees to our platform.
Wow. So that's fantastic. Wait, so Katie, let's dive into this a little bit.
Yeah.
What is the most lacking procedure that you find in all of cannabis that you work with? Where do companies in this industry just lack the most?
I mean, a lot of them don't have any. So our VP of Regulatory Affairs, his name's Tom Mohan, and he was a supervisor inspector for the Marijuana Enforcement Division for over 7 years. We're really lucky to have him, and he's wonderful to work with. He's told me that, you know, about 10 years into the legal market, Colorado started to finally look at SOPs, right? They were always required, but they started to actually investigate them and look at them, especially because of the recall. And he would be requesting SOPs from cultivation centers, and he literally got a page that was like, grow the weed. And he's like, no, but like, what kind of water is the weed grown with? Are you feeding it anything? Do you treat it with things? Like, just, you know, and when you're also creating a consumable product, you have a responsibility to keep track of what you're applying to the products, right? So we have worker protection standards and logs and forms that the Department of Agriculture requires. But having that written procedure, black and white, it's huge in risk mitigation.
Sounds necessary. It sounds very much this should be an obvious thing that companies have, and it doesn't sound like it is.
I think that people have the best intentions, but they're wearing 10 hats already. So it took me 5 years of content development just to get SOPs prepared for people. So it took me about a year each for each facility type. So we do all vertical. And so I think everyone's like, oh, I'll get to the SOPs. And then sometimes when I'm doing an overview with someone and they look at all the content that comes with just our templates, they're like, I'm not doing this. I'm like, I know you're not. You don't have time for this.
Where do your clients sit in the spectrum of this industry in terms of maturity? So do people you work with, are they just starting out? Are you looking at public companies that have been around since OG days, aka 4 years ago?
So great question. We actually service, but like my dreams, my perfect client is this one from the start, where we can just get right in there with the ground running before their doors open. But with that said, you know, Willie's has been around for, gosh, probably 6 or 7 years now. And so it's really, you know, we connect our SOPs to a document management platform, a learning management platform, and a task management platform. So, you know, from a training perspective, it's very user-friendly.
That's fantastic. So from the training perspective, it's actually maybe more from the data collection perspective. We'll go that route. How much emphasis do you put on that? Because it seems to me like how you grow this particular strain of cannabis is very much a necessary piece of information to pass along, not only to consumers, but also to investors, so that they can understand how...
People,
yes,
if they're not buying the SOP set with it, they're just buying a grow house with lights.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So they're really important acquisitions also.
Yeah, and I think my point being is investors want to know how replicatable is the revenue that this company is driving? How reliable is the year-over-year growth that we can see from this industry? And it seems SOPs help create that.
Absolutely. They do. So let's see. It's hard for me sometimes to extract the information from the cultivation director.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes that's a challenge for me, getting them to tell me what recipes they're using. And I have to kind of gently remind them that, you know, their knowledge belongs to the company now. They are getting paid to pass this knowledge to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been interesting sometimes, or easier than others. But, you know, that's the base of it. And I tell people, I'm like, listen, like, stuff happens. You know,
I could
get in an accident or something and you couldn't see me for 3 or 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
The plants need to be fed.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're not the ones on automatic feeders, you know?
And we have the same thing here. It's called, you know, in terms of like data and, you know, who we've been having conversations with at Benzinga to make sure no balls get dropped. It's just a standard operating procedure.
There we go. Check again, you know, it's just check it and then check it twice.
So how do consumers and investors go about looking for these items? You know, when looking to invest in a company, or look at a company that, you know, they want to see how reliable is this product? Is this just a great month? How do they go about understanding that this company has awesome SOPs, or that they can see hints of that throughout their reporting, their work, whatever it may be?
Yeah. So we offer 3 different services. We offer SOP templates where we do about 90% of the work for you. And then you can go in and customize everything to your municipality and your state regulations. We also offer customization SOPs. So we'll go in and figure out everything for you, your regulations. We'll figure out what products you have in-house, any equipment that you're using, your point of sale system, and we'll incorporate all those SOPs onto the system. And then after an initial customization, contract is done, we will offer quarterly, biannual, and annual, just review and update services. We're essentially replacing that compliance director role in a facility. For like a quarter of the cost. Because they spend about 80% of their time doing research, right? I've spent the last 10 years doing that. And so is my team.
And how does that differ from market to market? So from Colorado to Maine, you know, what's different between the SOPs you have to create the research for, create the processes for?
Yeah, absolutely. So labeling might be different. Transportation, the weight of a harvest batch, what they consider to be, you can only weigh, you know, I think Michigan is like 10 pounds. Or I think they might have upped it to 15, but you can only weigh 15 pounds per test samples that you're creating a harvest batch with, right? It's a lot of little things. New Mexico, Oklahoma, you have to have a transporter license. New Mexico, you can be an employee or have a transporter license in order to, you know, deliver product.
I was just going to ask, are there other businesses that provide what you do, but it seems like you built such a magnanimous wealth of knowledge when it comes to compliance and building an SOP. But are there other businesses that supply this? Because honestly, I have not heard of somebody just
consultants that offer a lot of different services. SOPs are usually one of them.
Okay.
I really honed in on this niche because I go in and I do facility flips and I do inventory reconciliations. I'm really well known for those. So if I go and do a facility flip, usually there's no SOPs anywhere. Like that's the problem, right? Is that there's no SOPs.
Mm-hmm.
So the facility flips, I'll basically report to the state everything that I found wrong. And then I'll show them if they had passed SOPs, what those were. And if they didn't, I'll turn in our SOPs and say, this is what we're doing now to make sure this never happens again. I've turned in books to the state this thick and never had a word back because I was transparent.
Very nice. That transparency, that was the one that I heard too when you said act. Accuracy, yeah. Consistency, transparency. I was like, ooh, that last one.
These regulators are all doing this for the first time too, right? Mm-hmm. Their jobs don't exist without our industry.
Right.
So I know some regulators are a little more grumpy than others, but really, I mean, it's just communication, respect, having a positive attitude. You know, that's really, it really helps with your relationships with your inspectors.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you have three answers for them when they come in. Yes, no, I don't know. Let me find that out for you.
Yeah, a great, great point from Tiny Pie Media here. If you have nothing to hide, you have nothing to worry about. I love that. That's a fantastic quote there. And also SOP keeps employees aware from Patrick. A differing opinion, less is more with SOPs. I don't know if we're on the same page, Nick. But you know what, Katie,
in the laboratory setting, I want every single detail in the
kitchen. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. So I have one last question here for you. Are you able to tell us a little bit about the companies you work with to date in terms of who you've helped compliantly and who you've helped take to the next stage?
We have tons of our clients that are you know, displayed on our homepage too at buildmysop.com. We're working with a great genetic specialist called Seed Junkie out of LA.
Great name.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. We're working with, let's see, Willie's. We have OG Medicinals from Denver is one of our clients.
Heard of them.
Over there. Awesome fire product. And actually, I helped them open their doors like 6 years ago. So it's
awesome.
Great to see them, like, just, you know, have so much success, really. Let's see, who else do we have? We have Doc's Apothecary. We have Best Days here in New Mexico.
Yes, I've heard of them. Awesome. It seems like you have a really cool up-and-coming wave of entrepreneurs as well that you're working with.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool.
We had our hard launch in February of 2021, and we're officially in 10 different states now.
Nice.
So we're servicing people all over the place. But, you know, I get people being like, well, are you just going to have them ready for, like, this state? Like, just change them all for the states? I'm like, no, it depends on the city. Like, even in Colorado, they still have dry counties for alcohol where I can't buy a drink on a Sunday. So, you know what I mean? It's just little things like that. It really comes down to the local jurisdiction.
Yeah. Hyper-local data. I love that. Yeah. Awesome. Katie Cravens, founder and CEO of Build My SOP. Really appreciate your time. Thank you for being here. And honestly, seems like an obvious subject, but it sounds like this industry still has a long way to go. So we're glad you're working on it.
You know what? It's great to see it maturing, and it's great to see the excitement. I didn't know other people got as excited about SOPs as I do.
We do.
With the industry, people are getting really excited about what we're offering. And so I'm just really happy and proud that we've built something that I know can help a lot of companies in their success.
Well, thank you for coming on and talking about it, Katie. Thanks again. We'll catch up with you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Awesome. That was a great conversation. Katie Cravens, bringing a wealth of knowledge on helping build businesses compliantly. Obviously something that is necessary. And for me, when I listen to her talk about it, I feel like this is what consultants advertise that they're supposed to do, but a lot of the times fail. You've been seeing a lot of this lack of auditing, this lack of help from these third parties recently in these public companies. And perhaps if they had started better sooner, it would have been a better result in terms of their earnings. That being said, we are going to jump now to one interview that I did a few weeks ago with Wanna Brands, Eric Block and their chief revenue officer. Stay tuned for that. Thrilled you guys join us. Join us every morning on Benzinga Cannabis LinkedIn, BZ Cannabis Twitter as well for our Cannabis Daily stream on stocks to watch for the day. Other than that, y'all, bzcannabis.com to attend our next event in Chicago in the fall. We'll see you next time. Hello, hello. Welcome back to Cannabis Insider with Benzinga. We're joined by Eric Block, Chief Revenue Officer of Wanna Brands. We are all familiar with cannabis and Wanna Brands. But that being said, we're here at MJ Unpacked, as always, a great event. I'm happy to say that before each of these. But Eric, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Glad to have you. We've never had Eric on. It's always been Nancy.
First time.
So we get a little bit of a different side of Wanna, and let's put it on. Let's put the pressure on. Let's see what we're missing.
Let's see if I can handle it.
No, let's start with Canopy. Obviously, you guys were acquired, I guess,
probably around October last year.
Yep.
September last year, sometime around then.
I think October 16th was the actual date.
So let's start with what's changed. What's new?
Lots of things are new, but nothing's changed. How do you like that?
You guys are still great.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're still hustling. We're still not being complacent. You still got to keep moving, keep forward, keep innovating. In terms of Canopy, nothing's changed there. Mm-hmm. You know, Canopy doesn't, they've purchased the rights to acquire the brand when federal permissibility takes place, whenever that transpires. So we continue to operate and move forward the way that we always have. Obviously now it's even better because we have, you know, a big brother, big sister with us, Canopy. And I think one of the things that they really liked about our company and why we were able to consecrate that deal is because we're both in alignment with how we see CPG and how we look at cannabis in the industry and wanting to build long-term stable brands, you know, that are constantly innovating and providing these unique products and unique effects for consumers. And so they, you know, when we communicate with them on a, you know, weekly basis now, it's really a consulting level. We now have people that we can bounce ideas off of. We can really ask them and take advantage of their years of experience in CPG coming from that Constellation side. So nothing's changed in how we run the business, but things are not the same and they're better. Yeah. And we have more consulting, and you know, I feel like we're just reinvigorated too with, you know, now we can really focus on what we want to do. You know, I like to say, you know, 90% of the brands I feel like are companies in cannabis are looking for their exit.
Yep.
What we found was our entrance, right? Hmm. And so now our entrance is into the next phase of where we're going and realizing self-realization of the brand and who we want to be, how we want to be, and where we want to take the brand.
Do you want to go into that first? Who do you want to be? Like, what's next for Wana? I mean, usually I would save that for the last question, but it seems, you know, pertinent here.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I think, like people, like humans in general, it's evolution in motion, right? What you want today may not be what you want 6 months from now, a year from now. But in terms of the brand, I would say we want to continue to innovate. We want to continue to provide the best products available. We understand that cannabis is medicine and that cannabis supersedes everything that we do in this industry. This industry is great. The brands are great. But at the end of the day, it's all about the plant and what this magical plant provides to consumers. And we understand that. We see that we're conduits of the plant. It's a brand, and we're all engaged, and we love the products. But at the end of the day, we are, you know, servants of the plant and what we can do to utilize the plant. So we're trying to innovate. We're trying to be here. And, you know, our core mission is to serve. Mm-hmm. It's not to be the number one brand. It's not to be this, it's not to be that, it's really to serve and to be conduits for the plant and then create products that resonate with consumers.
Sounds like you're not leaving in the dust those who really started the advocacy for this industry to begin with, those who needed the plant, who really fought for it. You know, I just kind of want to go back to the innovation side. So a while ago, probably prior to South by Southwest, this last one, we spoke with Canopy Growth's Chief Innovation Officer. There's a lot of futuristic thought in terms of how they look at cannabis trends. So does Wana look into, you know, how edibles or whatever products you're working with at that time, do you look at what's next, or do you base it off edibles?
No, it makes sense. You know, one of the things I love about working with Wana is starts from the top with our CEO, Nancy Whiteman. And she's amazing because she has the cannabis sense and she has the business side. And she's a visionary. You know, she has a vision for where she sees cannabis, where she sees Wana and the brands and what we can do and where we can, you know, slot in within this whole huge industry. And, you know, our perspective is always cannabis is not a zero-sum game. There's not just one winner. There can be multiple winners in multiple categories, and we're all for that, right? It's a holistic, synergistic experience for everyone involved. Mm-hmm. And so when we're looking at the innovation, getting to your question, we have, you know, a VP of innovation. His name's Mike Hennessy. And we all work together as a group, and we look at where are we currently in trends, but also where's science going? Where's cannabis going? We're always looking at the science. We're looking at where we can extend and really transcend the current products and the current effects that these products are providing. And so, you know, when we look at our portfolio, we have, you know, four different verticals in our portfolio. We have our classic gummies, which is that traditional 11-hydroxy experience. We have our quick onset line, which is a Delta 9 line, and it's quick onset and a quick offset, so you can like dial it in as well. Then we have our Optimals line, which is minor cannabinoid formulations, our Sleep Gummy, our Fit Gummy, and just looking at more targeted medical conditions within that. Low THC, not focused on intoxication, but more just on wellness, health, well-being. And then our last one is now like the Spectrum line, which is our first iteration, what we just launched, is our live rosin quick onset Delta 9 gummies.
Yeah.
Right? So it's going into that area. So we're always kind of trying to keep our finger on the pulse of where we are, but at the same time monitoring what science is telling us, and then always trying to create these new combinations for effects. And all of our SKUs aren't just different flavor profiles. We're not just saying, oh, you know, people like sour candy, so we're going to come out with the sour candy line in flavors. We're not going to do that. We're going to say, okay, what's science telling us? How do we create new SKUs with new effects that can resonate with consumers? Because at the end of the day, each of us has a different and individualized endocannabinoid system. So what works for me may not work for you in terms of a product. What dose works for me and it may not work for you. And 6 months from now, that same product that's working for you or working for me may not be the ideal product for me. We're evolving. The cannabis plant is evolving, right? The cultivars are evolving. And so we need to evolve with the plant and with the experiences that this magical plant can provide.
What an answer, man. Jeez, that was great. All right, so let's look at a little bit, just really quick, where the brand is. So when you look at where we can find Wana, obviously, recreationally, it's going to be legal states. But are you elsewhere medicinally? Are you elsewhere, you know, with hemp CBD? Where is Wana right now, and how do you look at expanding your brand?
Yeah, so we'll take this in two parts, the THC side of the business. So obviously, you can only be in markets where THC is allowed. So we're currently in 14 U.S. markets, and then we're also in Canada, another 9 markets there. So 23 markets, if you will. By the end of the summer, we're going to be in 18 U.S. markets. So we've got 4 more launches coming on. So we'll be in 19 total markets, well, 18 U.S. markets, 19 with Canada, 9 there. And we're looking to expand further into other markets beyond those 18. So we're expecting by the end of this year to be in 20 to 22 markets.
Great.
In the, you know, U.S. alone, really, and then Canada. And then we also have another vertical, which is our hemp line called Wana Wellness. And then that, we're in multiple markets in the United States. We can ship interstate commerce, because obviously it's the hemp-derived broad-spectrum gummies and other products. So we're trying to work both sides of the aisle, if you will, but really the biggest focus is the THC side of the business.
Awesome. I need a follow-up interview here to talk more about your thoughts on those two lines specifically and how you look at them, but we're out of time right now. So we have Eric Block, Chief Revenue Officer, Wana Brands. It's been super insightful, man. Thank you. That was a really great answer.
Yeah, thanks.
Appreciate it.
Membership fees apply after free trial. Cancel any time.
Can I be real for a second? That goal you have to exercise and eat better, you really can do it. But nobody is going to do it for you. And nobody has to, because you can do it if you have the right tools and a community that cares about helping you get results. And that's us, Beachbody. It's as convenient as your TV or laptop, but you need to decide that you're worth it. Let us help you succeed. Here's how. Go to Beachbody.com to claim your free membership and start feeling great.
Home. They say it's where the heart is. They also say it's wherever you make it. They don't say. It's where you unload your stuff, get tired halfway through unpacking, use some boxes as furniture, realize your oven mitt's in a box that doubles as a nightstand, don't want to buy a new nightstand, and use a towel as an oven mitt instead. But no matter where you call home, Geico makes it easy to bundle and save on renters and car insurance. Easier than grabbing a piping hot pan with a towel that's a bit too thin and trying to quickly get it to the counter. Ooh, hot, 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 hot.
This episode is brought to you by Verizon. Get a Verizon Business Unlimited plan from the network businesses rely on. Hey, Monica, with 5G Ultra Wideband in many more cities, you get up to 10 times the speed at no extra cost.
Hello, downloads in no time.
Plus, unlimited premium data and hotspot data to keep the signal flowing and your teams going. Come in or book an appointment with a Verizon business expert to find the right plan for your team. 5G Ultra Wideband available in over 1,700 cities with Business Unlimited Pro 2.0 smartphone plan. Speed comparison is to median Verizon 4G LTE speeds. Download speeds may vary depending upon network and coverage conditions and content optimization for 5G Ultra Wideband.
Jeep Freedom Days are here, where right now, well-qualified returning FCA lessees get a low-mileage lease on the 2022 Grand Cherokee WK Laredo E4x4 for $369 a month for 36 months with $3,799 due at signing. Tax, title, license extra. No security deposit required. Call 1-888-925-JEEP for details. Requires dealer contribution, a lease across their capital. Lessee is responsible for termination fees. Current lease must end by 7-3-23. Extra charge for miles over 30,000. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 7-5-22. Jeep is a registered trademark.